we're starting to record. I just want to have that near you.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Well, we just picked Tracy up at the airport. It's me and my honey man, Dave, and Tracy, who you were just saying you are glad your plane didn't crash, right?
I'm glad my plane didn't crash because I would think that this would be seen as judgment from the devil.
Not judgment from the devil, from God.
Judgment from God, but it would be the devil because I have kind of taken a stand against Kathleen Dillard, who is doing spiritual warfare, and I'm like, oh my God, they're gonna think that she brought my plane down. But
yeah.
So we're here.
Well, wait a second. Disasters. If you pray and you create a disaster,
ooh,
does that mean you're in league with the devil?
I don't know, Sharon. You would be the one to be able to comment.
I would be. All right. Now, you had just started to tell us about your career as a shuttle driver.
My career as a chauffeur. So we're making the drive from the Dallas-Fort Worth airport all the way out to Garden Valley, which I used to do when I was 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. And if we had important people coming to visit us, like Winky Prattney, John Dawson, they always picked a staff member to drive them so that we would kind of know our place, right? So you couldn't pepper them, you know, as a fangirl, of which I was really opposed to being a fangirl anyway. I did drive Georgian from Silverwind. He was the trio Silverwind. He was the one male in the trio of the two other females. And he was awesome. He was so interested and he carried on good conversation. Winky Prattney tried to sleep a little bit, which I understood, but then he did pay me, so I have to give him credit for that. He gave me cash when I arrived, and I was like, no, we don't take cash. And he basically chastised me and said, no, you gave up your Sunday, you need to take this.
That was very sweet of him.
I was like, wow. And at the time it was $20, and it was like,
whoa, that's a shit ton of money from back then.
So much. Yeah. I was like, oh my God, thank you, God, because, you know, we could get pizza or something.
You could buy deodorant.
I could buy deodorant, but I didn't. And then John Dawson, I'm not afraid to say he was an ass. I would say he was just like, I was treated like a peon from the time I picked him up to the time I dropped him off. And so much so that I even thought that then. I lost a little bit of respect for him even then. Because I was we're all God's servants. You don't need to treat me like your slave.
Well, you know, that's so ironic because John, of all of those YWAM stars, whatever they were, his teachings and how he exuded himself publicly was just warm and fuzzy and affirming and loving and humble, and the public doesn't match the private.
Yeah, I mean, in all fairness, it could have been a bad day, right, or whatever, but I even then thought it was a little more than that, and I was like, you know, you don't have to, you know, think of yourself so important that you can't just talk to a staff member. And that's what I was, just a lowly staff member of Last Days Ministries.
Yeah. So, question for you. It's funny, I actually didn't sleep that well last night. We flew in to Dallas yesterday. So, today is Friday, April 5th.
Fifth.
Right. So, we flew in last night. And I was up, and I had so many dreams last night. I was dreaming about... Whoops, hold on. Are we going?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it recording?
Yes.
Okay. We had to take a minor break for directions, make sure we were on the right road. And, we probably will be going straight through Dallas with the... I don't know. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. So I was starting to tell you that I didn't sleep all that well last night. I had all these dreams. I was dreaming about Melody, and that she wanted to borrow either some belts or a pashima from me for some reason.
either or?
Well,
you can't remember
there was a collection of them, and what she really wanted was this pashima that I really loved, and I was telling her she had to be very, very careful with it.
Wow. Were you kind of being attached to worldly things?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure I was. And then there was this weird, like, we're having some sort of a play or a... there was other younger teenage... We were like teenagers and we're doing some play and then it was a TV show, but then they had a plot that was gonna have a person who had been one of the January 6th rioters and say they were okay. Anyway, it was just weird. But
weird.
And then something about Keith and then something also with the kids, with Josiah and Bethany. So clearly this trip is deep in my psyche, right? Right?
Yeah.
How about you?
Did she keep you up, Dave? Or were you aware that she was restless?
Not too much.
We're old, so I get up to pee anyway, right?
Okay. And then did you go in the bathroom, or were you tossing, or were you just laying
Well,
there?
I didn't pee in the bed. I got up to pee, and I went to the bathroom.
I mean, but then did you take time in the bathroom to contemplate,
No. I just came back and tried to sleep, so,
Yeah, well, I was supposed to leave the house at 3:30.
In the morning. In the morning,
because my plane was at this god-awful time, and so I tried to get to bed early. So I actually slept pretty well, and then I woke up, and my plane had been delayed, so I was able to get a couple more hours of sleep, so...
That's good.
But yeah, I have... I haven't had those dreams. I'm just excited because I did come back... 2017. I have to check the which year. It's been a couple years. It was my first time back, and it was about 30 years since I had left or since I had been married.
Wow.
And yeah, it was pretty profound. I wasn't able to get on the property at that time because it was just being sold again. It was still under bank covenant. I don't even think they had a buyer, so it was locked up. And because I am a rule follower, I did not go on the property. And I was like, you know, my blood, my sweat, my tears are on this property. I should have a right to be able to walk on it. But I didn't. So I stayed to the outer perimeter and then went to the back gate, which is where... It's right across from the ICT schoolhouse, so I did walk that a little bit. But I didn't get on the property, so this will be good for me.
Well, I have not been back to this property since we were kicked off in 1987. So how many years is that? 97, 07, 17. I got to do the math. What is it? 37 years. 37 years.
That is a crazy amount.
Yeah.
Crazy amount of time to be having dreams and to just have this, you know, time period so imprinted. And, you know, I know that we'll hear sometimes from listeners who may have just gone through first term or may have stayed for second term or maybe they're a year. And it's like, why did this have such a deep impact on us? And I do think when you go through marriage there and start a family, I think that is a different level of impact because it changed the whole course of my life, right? It wasn't like I went and then I left and got on with my life. It's like I took a spouse with me. I actually took a bun in the oven. I was pregnant at the time. And it changed the course of my life.
Well, it's going to be really interesting and really cool to be back there with you. I want to say a big shout out and thanks to... We may or may not bleep his name out.
He may be like, please don't include me in your, in your craziness.
Who is graciously going to take us at 2:00 today on a bit of a walking tour. It's called JAMA now, and I don't remember what that stands for, the ministry that bought the old Last Days property.
Yeah, and I would look it up, but I don't want to mess up our recording.
Okay, well, we'll figure it out. We'll put it in later when we drive up there. And I'm just not sure what to expect emotionally. So we'll see. And then we're also... Later this afternoon, we want to go to Keith's grave.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you talk to Betty Devin?
I have texted and messaged with her, and we're probably going to see her tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, let's just stop.
Yeah, the Bible is stained with the tears. She hides it. Because we had to smuggle
That's
in
right.
Bibles to the USSR.
Open doors with Brother Andrew.
Brother Andrew.
Open doors. You know what? When I got married, this is, oh my God. My dad gave us a gift of $2,000. And I gave it all to Open Doors with
Brother
Andrew.
Brother Andrew.
Like, how disrespectful to my father, but I thought I was doing what God wanted.
Absolutely.
Oh, God.
I mean, he uses the unrighteous to bless the righteous. So, Leah will teach us to pray, to sing.
To sing? I don't remember the words.
Leah will teach us to pray. She's giving to children will never die. And Leah, you must not give in, Leah. You know you will win. So this is the first time that Dave has ever heard this music.
That's right. They were CCM's version of ABBA.
Yes.
And you know, we listened.
And they'll reach yes. to the sky.
Planted seeds on good ground and they'll reach to the sky. So we listened to music all the time. Those of us who were working either, if we were in operations of some sort, like fulfillment, print shop, the art room. We didn't really listen to it that much in data entry, I don't think.
No, it was really quiet. And the mail room, I think, was ruled with an iron fist. And the kitchen was ruled with an iron fist.
It wasn't like Van Halen running.
No. But there were some people in the print shop who preferred the metal version of Christian music, and that was a little controversial, but Resurrection Band.
We had Res Band, yeah.
And there was a couple others.
I judged
it a little harshly.
You judged
yeah,
it?
I did.
Well, yeah, but maybe you weren't the one trying to stay awake at fucking 2 in the morning.
Jesus kept me awake if I needed to be awake. I just trusted
so
in God.
Could you listen to regular music?
No!
No.
So much so that, well, we got to stay at Carol and Jimmy Owen's house, which sat up on a hill, which was a really beautiful house. They were the parents of Jamie Owens Collins. They were big in the CCM world. And when we stayed there, they had a whole secular music collection. And I remember, why is this? And then someone said, Keith had a secular music collection as part of the art, right? To learn the art. And I was like, compromisers.
Oh, look, I just got a message from he didn't know you were coming. He says, Oh, wow, Tracy Arden is coming. Sweet.
Yay! He loves me.
Is he one of the ones? One of you had a crush on?
No, we never. Well, who knows? I think at some point everybody had a crush on everybody, but those were strictly only for married group leaders to know. And so was never in my sights, but Kurt Stabler was. God, I had a crush on him. And Matt Schoenfelder was really who I was pretty sure God was calling us to get married. Liz Schoenfelder's husband.
Yeah.
Love you, Liz.
Before, he wasn't married. You know, we used to say...
He wasn't married then, yeah.
The Beauty and the Beast, the animated Disney... Right when the beast gets released to be his
gorgeous real man,
that was Matt Schoenfelder. Go back and look at it.
Yeah, he was pretty much like a chiseled god. Like he was really gorgeous,
yeah.
really gorgeous. Yeah. And as a matter of fact, I had to go to Grublitz, which is a little cafe at Agape Force based on the children's series, Nathaniel the Grublet. And so they had a little cafe there that had the best brownies. And so some of us would go. Kathleen took me there for a group one-on-one. We had to have one-on-ones with
were
our
you
group
in trouble?
Leaders. I wasn't on trouble, but I felt like I had to confess to her. Oh, God, this is so embarrassing. I don't think Liz Schoenfelder knows this either. I had to confess to her that I really thought God was calling Matt and I together.
Oh, my goodness. Now, what did you base that on? What was your reasoning why you were supposed to marry Matt?
So, Matt and I went to the same school. And
the very first
school, there were only 8 girls and 12 guys, and we were co-ed, which is a little scandalous.
USA. Well, I want you to ask the question again.
You have to ask the question again, Dave.
Was God calling you to him because he was good looking?
Absolutely. God doesn't want anything but good things for his children. You know, that's a good question, but because there were other good, I mean, we were all in our 20s. There was a lot of good looking people, right?
Yeah.
It's interesting on who I ended up married, but I had always, from high school, wanted someone with blonde hair and blue eyes. my spouse okay. would have blue eyes, but not the blonde hair. And I don't know, we went to the school, so there was a certain amount of bonding that happened in that school. He was very well respected, and I just could see us leading ministries together. So it just seemed like God's will.
Well, you definitely wanted a man who had a path forward in leadership.
Yes.
In the kingdom of God.
Yes, I did. Yeah. That was very, very important.
It was ambitious of you.
It was probably ambitious for me. I think it's also evolutionary, but that we are drawn to the leaders of the pack. I don't know. I mean, you picked the leader of the leaders.
No,
so
I
what the heck?
No. I did not pick the leader of the leaders. It got picked for me.
It got picked upon you.
Remember, I had my crush was on one of the artist twins.
Yes.
My big time crush.
And they're so sweet. That would have been
a good choice. Well, you know what though? It's the path. It's the path we had. So
it's the path we had.
If I could go back, knowing everything I know now, would I go, okay, let me undo that and be with someone else? I mean, I've got my kids.
Right,
they're fabulous. I don't want to undo that.
Right. I mean, that's such a weird question. And I think there was a movie I was watching where that question kind of came up to somebody as, you know, would
it's
you go...
It's a Wonderful Life?
No, it wasn't It's a Wonderful Life. And she was asked that question too. And it's like, no, how do you go back and undo your life? Right. Especially with your kids involved. And I think it's also hurtful to children to hear that. Because I don't know, I think in the heart of every child is a desire to be born of love, right? To be born of that love. So I do try to be careful with that because I did love my spouse passionately.
Yes.
Like I was very all in. I was all in.
And I was as in as I could be because it was about loving God and loving Jesus. And so, you know, at the time would I have said that this was not love and not... I don't think I had the awareness.
No.
I think I was so blinded with everything for the kingdom of God that I really didn't even know who I was.
Right. To be able to know that.
Yeah.
And my sister, who had come to live with us as a family, would often say to me, you're not even happy. You pretend that you're happy. And I would get so angry. Because I was like, I'm not pretending. And I look back at that now, and I'm like, she could see that I had become somebody that she had not known. But I was so not in touch with that because I had convinced myself, you know, that what is that scripture? I delight to do your will. So it's like, I'm doing God's will. So of course I delight in it. Of course I'm happy to be a living sacrifice. That's all I ever wanted to be was a living sacrifice. And since God didn't give me Matt Schoenfelder. And so Kathleen, I remember that was because she was very holy, usually, in her demeanor, right?
Let's bring it
back. So, yeah, we're at the cafe, and we're at Grublitz, which was a special treat to be able to get a brownie. And I felt like I just had to say it, because then it was like, how am I ever going to trust that I hear anything from God, right? If I felt like God was... And it wasn't that thing of... you are going to marry him, but I did feel a witness in my spirit.
Oh my God.
Sharon. I felt that witness in my spirit. And then he went off and got engaged and got married like so fast. And I mean, honestly, I mean, I guess confessions.
Were
the confessions
jealous?
Of the cult sisters. I really thought he missed God. Oh, we might have to cut this out because this might be too hard for our dear friend who then... we would become friends with him. We would all live together. But I really did. I was like, I think he's really missed God in this.
That's hysterical. Well, I just think that it's so humorous to think back on us in our teens and early 20s and how the weight of all eternity hung on any and everything we would do, mm-hmm. right? And we were so blinded, which is actually why I can understand and have compassion for those who are still just locked in that Bible box, right? And they've convinced themselves that, yeah, this is absolutely, I have joy and peace and all these things. Why? Because the Bible says I should. And
we convince ourselves.
Exactly. It is. Yes, we convince ourselves.
But I think it's very interesting that I have so much pride, arrogance that I wasn't missing God. It was him who missed God. Like, I was still like, I feel pretty confident in this.
Wait, so what did Kathleen tell you?
So Kathleen actually laughed. She laughed at the table in not a mean way. It was one of those like, and I was saying, I got to get this out because if I felt so confident in that, how can I ever hear anything from God? And she laughed and she was like, oh, she did. It was kind of like, oh, Tracy.
Did she know that he was already interested?
I think, no, I didn't tell her until they were married. I think this was something that I had done after they were married.
I thought you were doing it like while he was still single and there was hope.
No. I actually humbled myself to tell her this terrible thing when they were already married.
Okay.
And she, you know, she was good. She laughed, and I didn't expect her to, because I expected more of a chastisement or something of what sin, because, you know, usually it's sin that's making you miss God. And I never felt settled on, you know, why I could feel, because everybody else that I did like, I, this is the mind of the fundamentalist, Dave. I felt like I got a no from God, which now I see as my intuition, my inner whatever, and like, nope, not him. So there'd be a couple other people like, nope. But never Matt. I never got a no.
Maybe deep inside you were okay with polygamy. I mean, it is biblical, you know.
It is biblical. So yeah, that's like pretty hilarious now. I mean, now you look back and you're like, well, of course, you have all these young people, these young hormonal people in their late teens and early 20s. Of course, you're going to have all kinds of feelings.
Of course.
And then you got off the market before you could even let that horse run, really, for very long.
Oh, yeah.
But in Woodland Hills, did you not have...
No, I didn't.
Okay.
No, I didn't. I.
So when the artist, did you try to flirt? Like, did you
no.
do, you didn't have any time to like.
No.
Do any flirting.
No, I did not.
Or godly
flirt.
Flirting. Because there's definitely a godly way to flirt.
I didn't even do coy, like subtle. No, I didn't at all. Because I don't know. I mean, I think I was very naive and young in that mm-hmm. way. I was not the type of... That wasn't me. I wasn't sexually motivated. I had, like, little girl ideas of of romance, but I was really focused on Jesus, so I didn't.
Yeah. I mean, I was focused on Jesus, but I did like it if, you know, you got paired up with somebody, but you didn't have any time to do that.
But at that time, there was, you know, Keith and Melody. Mm-hmm. There had been another couple, Jerry Bryant, who, this was back in California, who had married Cindy. It was like a second marriage, I think, for her, maybe for both of them. And then Wayne and Kathleen, I think they might have got engaged while we were still in California, or maybe it was right when we got to Texas. But that was it. There were no other couples. We were just a bunch of single people working crazy hours, feeling guilty like little worms, all for the love of Jesus.
All for the love of Jesus.
So there wasn't really a culture of pairing up and getting married.
Yeah, and no
married.
One tried to, like, come work beside you, or you didn't feel like there was anybody, like...
never anything like that.
Wow.
No.
Because you're a little hot hottie.
Well, thank you. I think.
So that elder grabbed that right up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's too funny.
So we are getting closer. We've just crossed into Van Zandt County. And the little town of Van, the high school mascot was the Vandals.
The
Van Vandals. And, of course, football, huge. We used to think, oh, isn't that awful? It's like they worship football. It's like their god is football here in Texas.
I still think that.
I remember there was a nursing home in Van. And when we first arrived, we would go visit them every Sunday. We would go there. And there were, of course, elderly and disabled people. And there was one young gal that was, you could tell, you know, now I can look back and see, you know, she truly had some mental and emotional issues and physical issues. But Tracy, I remember hating going there.
I hated it.
We were, you know, we're supposed to be witnessing and like having church and songs.
Did you sing?
Yeah, we would sing. We would go with guitar and, Yeah, this was when we all were still living in the ranch house. So this was really early on in our Texas time. And it was just depressing and miserable, and it felt so contrived. And then I just felt so guilty, like I must not be a good Christian because I'm not liking this.
Yeah, we went also, I don't think it was part of my first term at all, so it must have been the second term, and there was probably still... When you stopped going, there was probably still a small group that continued to do that. Because I remember going a couple of times myself. It was just a depressing home.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very, very depressing. And so I don't know how much that was, you know, mixed in with what can you do, like, every Sunday. And we weren't connecting to people. We had a mission, right?
Right,
it's like,
right.
So it's all this thing of, like, can we get anyone saved? And...
Yeah.
Of course, in Texas, everyone is saved, which I never really put together back then, right? And so when you come back now and you'll start to see it's a very highly Christianized area.
Culturally Christian.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, look at you, culturally Christian. I mean, it's...
Oh, I'm showing my spiritual arrogance, aren't I?
You are totally showing your spiritual arrogance. But that's how we did. Like, well, they're in Christian and name only, not really real like us.
Well, come on, Tracy. They weren't. Come on.
I know. But it's like, how do you tell the gospel message to someone who grew up probably more church than we did? It's definitely a weird dynamic in there. They need to get saved. They probably absolutely think they're saved.
But you're right. It really wasn't about human connection. It wasn't about true compassion and care for the individual at all. It was a let's get some notches in our Bible belt, right?
Yes. And then I think it was overwhelmingly depressing because, you know, they're there to talk and they want to have relationship, and we, you know,
that's not what we were there for.
We were not there for that. So,
all right, we got to find a place to eat before we get to our destination tour.
We already tried gas station tacos, and we decided, nope, we're going to try something else.
it had a good review. We didn't know it was a gas station. We pulled over, and we're like, oh, okay, which we still would have done, except there was a
barbecue,
huge line.
Barbecue 2 miles at Duke's. Yeah. That looks good. Barbecue at Duke's, barbecue. 2 miles.
Check it.
Oh, check it. Okay, I got to get off. Bye. Okay. No. Wait, where did my little Mikey thing go? Okay, we've just pulled off of I-20 onto... We should get a picture of that. Onto 110. 110. Oh, there it is. It's the Youth with a Mission, the Journey Coffee House. We're just passing it. I will say the sign is a little faded and worn. Okay.
We'll have to get coffee there. And
well, you can get coffee there. I think that's a devil's drink.
I do not. I think they're gonna witness to us. Whew,
that would be fun.
Yeah.
Would that be really fun?
Wouldn't that be really fun?
All right, we will definitely stop there.
So I told Dave to put on his.
Okay, wait a second. I remember this road.
Of course you do.
I remember. I mean, it has been 37 years since I've been here, and I remember this curve. Oh my gosh! Wow.
The Youth with a Mission that was here 7 years ago.
Wasn't here when I was here.
No,
there wasn't. It wasn't there.
Like, and there's Community Christian Fellowship. So
now
that's CCF.
No, did they build that when I was here? There was a building.
That's a newer building.
But that doesn't look like what it was. And this is the old Agape Force on the right, isn't it? Tracy's this old Agape Force? Yeah. See the Western Town?
Yeah, the Western Town.
The Western Town storefront?
They actually did CCF,
too. Oh, my God. And this was... There was a Christian school here. My poor youngest sister got sentenced... She came and lived with Keith and Melody and foster daughter Dawn, and she went to eighth grade here.
Did Dawn have to go here, though? Because I thought Dawn went to Van, but I wasn't sure if that was later or if she was already in high school.
My sister was younger than Dawn, so Wow. I remember we rode the horses. My sister and I rode Rose and one of the other horses all the way up to the Agape Force school for the harvest costume party. Remember, it couldn't be Halloween.
No, it couldn't be. I don't even think we at Last Days recognized harvest.
No, but the school did.
I did later on when I had my kids were older, but that was even controversial.
Wow. Oh my gosh. This is a trip. How many times I drove this road.
Yeah, and if we had gotten off just a little bit before, we would have come up right as Last Days and then come back around here.
We'll drive the other way after this. And is this...
Wait,
was this Twin Oaks on the left? No, wait, was this Wilkerson? What's on the left here?
I don't know. I think Twin Oaks...
It's somewhere else. Twin Oaks is more towards Tyler.
I don't know. Maybe we're coming up on something.
What is this? There was Dale Brown's house.
I'm taking a right.
You take a right here.
Turn right onto Farm to Market Road, 1253 North.
This is where I got married. This is where my wedding was. Oh my God, we're going to have to... I don't think they'll let us go in there, but that's where my wedding was. Wow.
Continue on Farm to Market Road, 1253 North.
Iron Valley Church. Bible Church?
That's a new thing.
It'll be interesting who goes there. With all these other... I thought it was a singing sermon. I was like, you can go here singing sermon.
You know, Father Hart was named after... John Dawson's teachings.
Yep.
John Dawson, the dickhead.
Great. So my cousin, another fun fact that you don't even know, my dad's cousin's daughter, so we call her my cousin, went off to youth with the mission. And worked with Beverly at Father Heart for years. That was where she kind of served her youth with a mission.
Wow. Okay, we're now at the four-way stop sign, which is Garden Valley, Texas. Before you turn here, babe.
Farm Road 16.
Yeah, FM 16. Before you turn. So on that far corner, that was Miss Tiny's house. That was the first schoolhouse for girls right there that we bought. We were like buying up everything, right?
So Miss Tiny's was a little further in.
I got it wrong.
We'll take you to it.
Okay, I got it wrong.
They demolished it, so
this
it's gone.
Guy's right on my tail.
Okay, a guy's right on your tail. All right, we got to keep going because
he's got farm living to do.
Turn left onto County Road 442. Then your destination will be on the right.
Yep. Look at that.
Look, he's coming in.
Maybe it's... Oh, maybe he saw us and he wants to be like, hey, tormenting you. I don't know. He really is close to you.
Okay.
Very good.
Yeah, he's so pissed at you.
Yeah. Yeah, here we are. All right, we're going to pause. Oh, by the way, when we're on this tour with other people, they're all Christians. We're going to be very respectful. We don't want to offend anyone.
This time.
Tracy just said, this time.
Okay. Recording.
Oh, wow. Do you smell that honeysuckle?
I do. I smelled it when I came 7 years ago. It's very, very pronounced.
I'll take a picture of it before we leave. Yeah.
And you and I are sitting here in the Garden Valley Cemetery. And what's straight ahead, Sharon?
Oh, well, behind us is the headstone for Keith and his children, Josiah and Bethany. And 30 feet in front of us is the headstone for Leonard Ravenhill. So, major old times.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that was by design that Keith's headstone, because the front of the headstone would be facing away from Keith's grave, but they engraved it on the back so you could see.
Oh, so you could see it.
Leonard Ravenhill from Keith's tombstone.
Got it. Yeah. So we have spent a couple of hours,
more than a couple of hours.
3.5 hours, visiting first the Last Days Ministries old property, which changed hands to Teen Mania, and then now JAMA, which is, what does it stand for again?
Jesus, something.
Jesus Awakening?
Jesus Awakening. Mission for America?
I don't know, we'll figure it out.
Yeah. I keep remembering it and then I forget it. But
oh,
it's
well.
Jesus, it's Awakening, it's ministry, and it's America.
Something in
and
there.
Global.
Yeah.
And they were very gracious.
They were very gracious. Yeah.
I think that they continue to have people who used to be at Last Days Ministries come for a tour. And so they've always been very gracious to open it up so that we could walk. So,
and of course, there's a lot of new buildings, and missing is the ranch house and other buildings that we were used to. And the ones that remain, the cafeteria, the dorms, the office building, the warehouse print shop have been bricked over and gussied up. So definitely look different than the little bit more humble,
yeah,
humble abodes that we were in.
And that's actually, we had a lot of pride about that, because in this area where there are a lot of other ministries, we had a very simple sign, the little brown mm-hmm. sign. We had the old dirt road that led up to the old brown ranch house. Mm-hmm. And then the dirt paths all went to the metal buildings, the metal print shop building, the office building. And then, you know, our biggest build was the worship cafeteria, mm-hmm. which I had forgotten that we had an architect on staff. Yeah. I had forgotten that. Yeah. Did you remember that?
Tracy Hansen. Yep. Yep. Yeah. He designed it. You know, each thing though, like when we went to that cafeteria worship center, it felt smaller than what I remember it, you know, what it was in my memory. And yeah, I was like, wow, this is interesting that it seemed so much bigger to me way back when. And I wonder if how much of that is I was still, you know, I was like 17, 18 years old when I, well, 17 when I first went to California and turned 18 in Texas, and still that kind of juvenile mindset. But it definitely, yeah, everything felt smaller to me than what I recalled. How about you?
Yeah, and I don't know how much that is because we had so many people crammed around us. I mean, that would tend to make you maybe think it would be smaller, but it was just so many people everywhere. And, mm-hmm. you know, when you look now at the size of that, I mean, at one point there was like 150 people and we would come in. And so I think maybe that's why we remember it a little bigger. Mm-hmm. I know and I took a picture of it in the cafeteria, there's these little booths that you could have some privacy if you were eating and you didn't want to be eating mm-hmm. at the big tables. And I had many one-on-ones and some pretty heartfelt, a lot of tears in those booths. And they looked tiny to me. Yeah. Tiny.
And they they felt bigger then. You know what else, Tracy? That's the building that you got married in.
That is the building that I got married
in. How did that feel to be back there?
So I was so glad that we could get inside of it because, you know, when I came out here seven years ago, I could only do the perimeter of the building, of the property. I couldn't go through it. So that's the first time I've been in the cafeteria since, what, how many years did we discover it was? 37 years?
Well, 87. So what is that? Yeah, 37 years ago.
And so I haven't been inside of there since I left. And, you know, there was this little fireside room that, you know, I remember having to repent because, you know, at the time when we were courting, we were in there alone for too long and may have had some PDA, public display of affection, that
only
wasn't
was private.
It was
private display of affection.
So that was really cool to go into that room and then to come out into, you know, the big area. And, you know, I think the cafeteria line was probably the most the same for
yeah
for me.
The stainless steel
yes.
the food service line
and
yeah,
I don't think they yeah. replaced that piece of equipment, and that did seem smaller to me. And I think we may have had mm-hmm. maybe something else attached to the end of that line, and then I know there was a drink segment over afterwards, but we spent a lot of time going through that food line.
Yeah. And, you know, I just thought of something. It's almost like metaphorical. Everything seems like in reality now, it's not that it seems smaller. It's like we're seeing it in the size it really is. In our minds, way back then and at the time, everything seemed so big and important and grandiose.
Yes.
And now the perspective is, wow, we were a bunch of idealistic and yet quite arrogant people, I think.
Yeah, you it's know. A weird combination,
yeah,
right? Because,
yeah.
And I mean, I find that to be true still in, you know, people who are still in the fundamentalist mindset, is your highest goal is to be humble, right? You're trying to attain this level of humility, but there's such an arrogance that can't help because you're the only one that have the truth. And then, of
right.
course, here we were sitting in East Texas, which is a very Christian, you know, as you would say, a very cultural Christian environment.
Right.
Churches on literally, there's, we pass what, three or four churches already?
I know.
And ministries, there's ministries down the street, but we really thought we were set apart.
Well, we were, Tracy.
We were set apart. And so, so you have this, we have this pride in our humility.
I know.
We had the smallest sign. We didn't pave our roads. We wouldn't spend God's money. So, of course, even walking around.
Okay, yeah, but I got to say this. The other thing, okay, so both looking at this one, thinking back on it, when was last days still, Tracy, I'm like, holy shit, there was a fuck ton of money.
Yes.
The money. The money. And yet we were living with barely getting any spending money and having to pay for an extra glass of orange juice. And the dichotomy, the contrast, and driving around and going back to the old Agape Forest property, which is now Mercy Ships, and driving all through that. And then Twin Oaks Ranch, which used to be David Wilkerson and is now YWAM. Still, you know what astounds me, Tracy, is the money.
The money.
The money. The tax-free money.
Yeah.
And God, I wish we could have visibility to what that really is, right?
So wish we could have. That's what I, you know, said in the van as we were driving by. The property in this area is gorgeous. I mean, and also we're here in the spring, so the wildflowers are carpeting, you know, all of the fields. There's a nice breeze in the air. The property is just vast. And I would love to be able to look into the finances of what it takes to keep this up, what it took to purchase some of these facilities. And, you know, are they carrying debt? Like, how are they getting their donations? And I asked a couple questions from some of the people that we were with, you know, how are they doing? And, you know, I do think that in this time of deconstruction where so many people are looking for something less organized in their spiritual life, I wonder if these are going to come to an end at some point.
These big, giant, mega things. I don't know. Hey, you know, there was one bit of information that I did not know about, and I don't think you did. So we noticed that there was this like water treatment, sewage treatment area, whatever, utility structures. And I didn't remember those having been here before. And I pointed them out to someone that said, oh yeah. Oh, and that's actually the reason why Last Days had to close down. You know, as far as when they shut down Melody and her husband at the time, Andrew Severite, in, I guess, 95, 96, whenever that was. And I said, wait, what are you talking about? And the person said, and actually made a phone call to someone else to verify.
Did they verify?
Yes, they did.
I was like, we're going to have to vet this.
Okay. No, no. Got on the phone. You were talking to somebody else, but I was there. Got on the phone. And yes. So what happened was that it was so out of code and needed to be upgraded. And the county gave them, okay, you've got a year to get this done, but it was like a few million dollars or something like that to get it done. And they were already on the edge and not having enough finances that they could not afford to just get the septic system up to code. And that's what caused them to need to leave. But that's not what we hear. That's not what's, oh, God's timing. It's just God's timing. And okay. And well, whatever. But, you know, it's like the whitewash that goes over things instead of just being transparent and say, you know what? This is just, it's not economically sustainable. We can't do this because of all this. So it's time for us to move on. No, we've got to spiritualize it. We've got to make it God leading us. And anyway.
Yeah. And the amount of, I mean, you have property now. And so, you know, the amount of money that it takes to continue to upkeep grounds and even to build is a very, very deep pockets. And we did hear that some of those donations were starting to dry up because it had changed. And, you know, if you were people that were receiving it at that time, it had lost its edge. And of course, Keith was the big draw for a lot of the financial support. And that is why Youth with a Missions model is so insidious and yet successful.
Yeah.
Because they have been able to pump fresh tuition through their gates.
Right.
That people are paying to come and get this training and then go on these mission trips.
Not just any people. Young, gullible, impressionable, vulnerable people. That's where the money is coming from. And that's just sad.
Yeah. And Last Days Ministries never really had that as their model, right? To put that many people through.
No.
And you can see from the surrounding areas. And like I said, I look around and I think we saw on the Youth with a Mission some areas that were not kept up like they used to be kept up, right?
Yeah.
Because these are some vast and sprawling pieces of property. And I have, and maybe it's just my cynical side, I think the newer generations and where they're pursuing spirituality, I think there might be an end to this.
I really think
there might be an end to these.
And yet...
types of ministries.
Yeah, and yet on the drive here, I saw this flag that says, Jesus is my savior, Trump is my president, God and guns. So I'm like, there's a different militancy that's growing. I mean, we thought we were God's army and we were twisted in some way, but now this whole shift to Christian nationalism that we would not recognize. We would not, it's like, I don't think the historical Jesus would recognize this.
No, the historical Jesus wouldn't recognize it. But I do think that type, and it was, guys, it was a terrible truck with some pretty awful big flags flying out the back of the bed, and one had fuck Biden. And in the midst of
Jesus
is my savior. Maybe they went to your school. And I don't see that type funding these types of ministries.
No. They're just gonna buy $65 Bibles from Trump.
Exactly. Oh, that's a whole other rabbit hole.
Okay. Let's. I want to bring this back. I know I'm rambling and going off into crazy stuff,
Stuff.
There are three places that on this day that have been kind of, I don't know, profound or like just made me think and feel in a certain way. And they were where the old ranch house used to be, the Dale Brown's old house, which is now Living Alternatives Father Heart Ministries, and then here where we're sitting right now at Keith's grave. And so I was going to talk a little bit about those, but how about for you? Was there anything in particular for you?
Well, absolutely the Cafeteria Worship Center, because that is where I got married. Mm. That's the last place I saw my father alive.
Oh, I did not know that. Wow.
Yeah, Tracy. So he had come and... we'll put a picture up, but it's kind of built into a hillside. So the top part are these guest rooms or hotel rooms. So my dad stayed there for the wedding. And of course, my husband at the time, his parents also stayed there. My sister stayed there. We had, you know, relatives coming from all over. And that was my dad's first time on the ministry property. And he was impressed. I think he was more surprised that, you know, everybody was super nice and super friendly to him. And then we went into the service, which we'll put the show notes in our the wedding that never ended. And he did walk out of the wedding. And that was the last time I ever saw him alive. But just being back in that cafeteria building and seeing how it's changed and some of the things that were the same. And that was pretty profound for me. Hmm. And then definitely the ranch house. Tree stump. That's all that's left is a tree stump. So I'll let you talk a little bit more. We both lived in the ranch house. So even though I came after you, that was where a lot of us were still living in the early days. And so that was one of my first jobs that I ever had, you know, cleaning out the horrible stuff out of the cans that had been rotting there since, you know, 1900, I'm sure. And then obviously this gravesite where we're at, but it was really good for me to see the Brown's house. We were very fortunate to be able to go in, and our ICT had many picnics there. you know, I took a picture of the outdoor grill area. We used to be able to go to the swimming pool. It was just always this really welcoming stone home because we didn't have homes, right? We were living in dormitories and in, you know, three high bunks. And, you know, if you were like you married, you still lived in a back room or then in these little tiny, you know, framed
duplex
houses
that, little things, yeah.
And so this was a very, you know, welcoming stone home. And, so yeah, those were my three. Mm.
Well, I guess sort of the chronological order. Oh, there was another one that was the runway.
No, but, we didn't get to walk on the runway.
No, but
that
we drove.
That would have been helpful.
We drove.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have done that. But anyway, so yes, yeah, standing on the site where the ranch house used to be and kind of orienting myself, I remember it like it was yesterday. The walking out that front door after Keith had, it was like 10 o'clock at night, and Keith had said, okay, you and Martin, you guys are now going to, you know, be in a special relationship, which of course is all about having prayed and believing that this is what God wants. I mean, Keith and Martin having done that. And I remember walking out that front door in the dark with the porch light on and you know, me just saying, I don't know about you, but this just feels really weird. And, yeah, I can envision it like it was yesterday, Tracy.
Mm-hmm.
It was so standing there, looking down the hill, down where the entrance was, that, and the cedar trees that were on either side in the front of the house. And then, remembering 3 weeks after that, sitting in the living room of that ranch house on the couch, Keith saying he wanted to talk to me and basically saying, you know, you were ready to get married, and setting that whole thing in motion. And that was kind of surreal to stand there again and remember that's what happened. And then when we went to the Browns house and walking into that room with that fireplace, I remember the feeling of kind of like deer in the headlights.
Oh, yeah.
And dissociation. That's what I remember, you know, and I know a couple people were like, oh, you got married there, you know, and like expecting me to be happy and joyful. And I'm like, this is just, it's just so strange. So strange.
No, you were definitely overcome. And, you know, we had people around us who were gracious to give us
the
tour, but I knew that you could have used a moment there. You could have used a moment there.
But it's all right. I got the tools to take care of myself. So, and then let's see. Oh, well, actually before we had actually chronologically, we had gone there before, but we went to the Browns house, but then drove down partway down the old runway and could see the tree line where the plane had.
It's not very far.
No, where the plane had gone down, remembering that day. And then now we're here at Keith's grave, and not only Keith, but Josiah and Bethany.
Yeah.
And Tracy, I'm looking at the gravestone and realizing he would have been 70 years old right now.
70
years old.
I would so love,
oh,
you know, like put into an AI app to just see what would 70-year-old Keith be like.
Oh my gosh.
Right?
Yeah.
But because, you know, when I hear that, I'm like, oh, wow, old, but we're only 10 years off of that.
I'm only 6 years off of that.
We're not far off of that. And that still kind of surprises me.
7 years off. God, I can't even do math.
Yeah. I mean, when you get this old, it's hard. The brain starts to rest out a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah. And I think one of the most profound things is, I mean, I've always had a good memory. I think you have a good memory.
Mm-hmm.
I have a better memory, I think, than you do. And I don't, you always hear these older people say, I don't feel that far away from that younger version of myself, right?
Right.
I don't, in many ways, I feel miles away because of everything we've been through, but you know, the feelings, the emotions, I will say when you're in a high control community like that, the emotional impact is so intensive and so
yes.
deep that there were places like the booth. I would say the booth. I remember having a conversation before I was going to get married and my hair was falling out and I was crying, you know, to another brother, just some of the emotional angst I was in and different parts of walking between the buildings and just, we had so much intensity. I had
yes.
so much angst and intensity. And so that property is a reminder of just the places that I was carrying all that. And, you know, we'll go by. We haven't been by there, but Miss Tiny's where I spent most of my time. It's a little house called Miss Tiny's because before Last Days bought it, a little woman lived in there. The very crooked floor, a little crooked house with a very crooked floor with a maybe probably a crooked lady. And I cried. I spent so much time in tears and angst during my time here. And that was, I think, the first time I had come back 7 years ago was one of the most stark reminders of, I don't have that heaviness. Like, I don't have that sense of introspection. I don't have this sense of the weight of the world and the sills of the earth are, you know, on my head and on my heart. And I'm just such a worm. And it's like, I, for the first time, like, this is actually beautiful property. There's flowers blooming. I literally did not notice flowers before.
You know what? That is so true. I'm driving around going, this is really pretty. And
it's
I don't remember
really
it as being pretty. I don't remember it as being pretty. And I think you're right. It's a reflection of what was going on in us. And, you know, we were with a number of people today that were, got us access to the property and then also to the Brown's house and the very gracious, very gracious. One was a former brother at Last Days and he's still in the area and still a believer and just a lovely, lovely human being. And there was another woman who was also, she had been at another sister kind of ministry here way back when,
way back
in 79.
Yep.
In 79 as well. And she also is still a believer and also has gone through some reevaluation of a lot of the things that, the crazy stuff that I think all these high control ministries put people through.
Yes.
And
without accountability, I will just throw that out there, but continue.
Right, right. Without accountability.
Like we've had to work this through, but there's never been any published accountability
of,
hey, we got this wrong.
No.
Never.
No. Nobody's ever admitted to it. So, but in, a thing I found interesting when we were driving through one of the other ministry properties, she pointed to a hillside and she said with just such beautiful sincerity, you know, it's like no matter what happened, you know, all the other bad stuff and the good stuff, but no matter what, out there under the stars, I know what happened between me and Jesus, and nothing can ever take that away. And you know, Tracy, I resonated with that because I had those experiences too.
Yes.
That sense of the presence of this loving, powerful source of all of creation and everything. And the other thing that I've also experienced though is after beginning to question the, what I now call the Bible box, you know, the whole fundamental evangelical Christian paradigm, questioning that and being terrified to question and pursuing truth and trying to understand and trying to understand myself, I have had those same experiences. I no longer label that Jesus. I believe that that transcendent connection, whether you want to call it universe, you know, the universe, or consciousness, or source or whatever. I believe that those experiences of profound truth and love, I believe they are emanating from within us, from the part of us that is connected to everything else in the universe.
Yes.
And
yes,
so I get that, mm-hmm. right? I don't take away from it, mm-hmm. from what she was saying. And I also have experienced it beyond the, it has to be Jesus thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, we didn't get to walk. So out before you get to the runway, to the left, like where the ranch house would be, if you walked over into the field, there was a pathway in there that I used to go where I would have my spiritual orgasms with Jesus. And I would dance because I would envision that I was going to be a ballerina at Jesus' feet. And that was going to be one of my expectations of heaven, that I would be able to dance.
Uh-huh. You can pole dance now, though. I know you can.
And so those were profound times that have vivid memories because, you know, it's out in these beautiful fields. You can smell the air. But it was still tinged for me with, I am so unworthy.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And so that connection.
Wait, is that the police coming to get us? Hold on. We're fairly close to a major road here.
Which is unusual to hear sirens out here, I think, because we're kind of off the beaten path a little bit.
We kind of are. They'll pass in a moment. And then you're going to try to remember what you were saying.
I can remember what I mean, it's not hard to forget spiritual orgasms. When you're connecting.
Wow, they're getting closer.
They're getting closer.
Are they coming for
Maybe
you?
Maybe we broke into the cemetery.
Well, wait a second. You know, I did go down in the corner
you
and pee.
Did.
I did
you
pee
did.
In the corner.
It's the pee police. They have found you.
Oh.
They're moving.
Okay.
It is a really... So May out here in East Texas is beautiful. We can just say that. It's really beautiful out
but
here.
But this is April.
Okay. So... May is also beautiful, and April is just getting ready to be beautiful. I think I came last time in May, but it's the same. It's still beautiful.
Oh, God.
And yeah, so I think, and we didn't have time to really talk about where this other person came from, but she gave enough hints that there was also coming from trauma, right?
Yes,
which is something that I've seen all of us. We came from not feeling the most loved and connected in our nuclear families.
Right.
And we were then ripe to be in this environment that we were going to be accepted in this, you know, that God who loves us. And so some of those experiences were the first time that we ever could connect with that.
You're right. You're right.
And it was important and it was life changing. But to me, I see it as a pathway to still go forward because it isn't built on me, having to just be so empty of all my humanity. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I think those are real experiences, but they were also a little, still have abusive tentacles to them.
Because it's still, we were still never worthy.
We were never worthy.
The difference now to me in connecting with the idea of whether you want to call it divine source or cosmic consciousness or whatever is that I'm enough.
Yes.
I'm okay. I'm complete. I'm not something that needs to be cleaned up and fixed.
Yes.
In the sense of the essence of who I am.
Right.
Traumas and wounding and adaptation. Yeah, there's stuff that can get better and more healthy, but it's not because I intrinsically am worthless.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, and that was the definition of why we loved so much, because he dared to love us who were so bad.
So unlovable.
Yeah. And then it made us emote, I think, in all of these, you know, spiritual orgasm ways.
Right.
But those are definitely real experiences. And so I do think we both try to be gentle with people who are who are trying to tell us that part of their story. Mm-hmm. I think we did a good job trying mm-hmm. to be respectful of people's so. Experiences.
Yeah.
We may have said a little too much at one
point. I think I did at one point. There was another person who's very much active in ministry and very enthusiastic about how Keith and Last Days really, really helped this person, and was kind of gushing about how wonderful it was that we worked so hard and were able to provide things for free, and that helped this person's life to be impacted for the good. And of course, I'm just thinking, yeah, okay, 6 days a week, 10 to 12 hours a day, you had to pay for another half a glass of fucking orange juice, and the control and the use, being used, is like, nah, that, I don't think it was an even trade. I don't think it was an even trade.
What did you say to him? Because I was talking to somebody else, and I tried very hard to use my very, I don't know what you would call them, skills to kind of weave myself out of very confronting type of, you know, conversations and weave it back. So.
I said, well, because the person had heard me saying earlier when we were in the old print shop talking about the hours we worked and the, you know, sometimes staying up for 48 hours straight. So in this case, I just said, well, I'm really glad that it helped you.
Oh, see,
that's all I said.
See, that's good. That's good. Yeah. So we did get to go into this big cavernous that used to be a warehouse that's now a brick. I think it's very interesting that they covered the metal buildings with brick.
They're all covered with brick. Yeah.
So they do have a facade on them that looks, you know, much more impressive than it did in our kind of...
Is that
of
a bit metaphorical as well?
Yes, it is. It is a bit metaphorical in our ragtag days. But yeah, standing there and in our mind's eye, of course, you know, I was thinking I would love to print it out and then, like, you know, with some AI put back the equipment that we knew and where it went so that we could get our bearings of where we were and how, you know, that red dirt road pathway between, you know, at one point the ranch house and the building, because that's where we went back and forth. And then eventually to the cafeteria, and just this like triangle of pathway that we would do at all hours, just in why we weren't seeing the pretty flowers growing because we were working so hard. And, you know, I think that there are people that are former Last Days ministries people who do not like to hear us speak negatively about it, because it's like,
oh yeah.
And you could hear it in some of the group today of like, yeah, but you know, it's like we meant it for, you know, good and all of this. And I think one of the reasons we do this is, no, this is taking advantage of young people. And yes, no one held a gun to our head. And yes, we had some good times. Yes, we bonded in some relationship. But when you step back, there was a few at the top. Mm-hmm. And there's a hierarchy of leadership that happens mm-hmm. at every one of these ministries
every
that we're driving around.
Every one of them.
And there are good, precious souls who want to do something bigger than themselves and who want to make a contribution. And they get exploited. And we can see it clearly. And I guess that's what disappoints me about some of my generation now is, okay, sure, you know, our journeys, you know, they are what made us who we are, but you don't get to gloss over the exploitation that has been done to these precious young people and continues to be done. You don't get to gloss over that.
No.
It's like, we have a voice, we experience that. And I want to see that stop. There's other ways for young people to really make a contribution to this world.
I agree.
And it doesn't have to come on the backs of this high control and, you know, manipulation and indoctrination. Doesn't have to come on the back of that.
No, it doesn't.
So that's my soapbox.
Okay. You know what?
What?
I'm getting hungry.
Okay.
So how about we pause? Wait, don't.
No,
don't
I'm not. I'm just getting ready.
Okay. So how about we'll pause this, and I'm sure we'll have more to talk about either later tonight or tomorrow before we leave
I think we will, because we haven't even gone by Miss Tiny's.
Oh, shit. My cleavage is showing there.
Ooh.
Oh, well. Woo, 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 woo.
I will definitely try to get that in, folks.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
All right. We're going to pause.
She was doing a selfie.
All right.
We're going. Okay, you got to come closer.
I do.
So this is our second day.
Is it only our second day? I feel like we've lived 3 days.
Yeah, or
in these
more.
Last days.
I mean, it's actually only a little bit more than 24 hours, really.
Wow.
Yeah.
We've packed a lot in.
We have.
Sharon.
We have. And we're on our way back to DFW right now mm-hmm. to drop you off. I'm staying.
You are staying.
We're going to try to catch the solar eclipse. I think we're going to have to hightail it to Arkansas, but hopefully we'll get away from some of the cloud cover, but we shall see.
Yes, and then I'm flying to my job in another part of the Path of Totality.
Yeah.
So we're heading out, and this has been such a mixture of, I think, deep emotions, really just gratitude at seeing some people that we haven't seen in many decades. And I think I'm going to ask you what your overarching feelings are. So we obviously did the property and we have to talk about that. But today we spent some time meeting people that we haven't seen in so long. And I'm just so proud of so many of these women who
yes.
have come out of everything that we've come out of and what we've talked about and are doing so well and have crafted a new life for themselves and are just thriving, and it makes me very, very happy to see that. And I think we all could relate that we had to all come out of some stuff to make that happen.
Yeah, we did. You know, it's interesting. You just said that, the three women.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking of all of the folks we were with at Last Days, I'd be interested to tally and see of those who've deconstructed or gotten into a more healthy spot, what percentage are women and what percentage are men? It almost seems to me like men are hanging in there with the old belief system more than women, but I don't know.
Yeah, that may just be our own experience with the ones that we're in contact with, but we didn't know. I mean, when we meet old friends from a long time ago, we're not quite sure where everybody's at.
Right.
And so even people who may still, you know, declare a certain amount of faith, they have definitely allowed the old...
They've gone to the mush god.
They've gone to
the mush god.
You know, understanding, you know, some freedom and grace and empowerment. And, you know, for women, that's what's missing. So,
yeah,
ugh.
That might be part of it. Hey, you know, I wanted to circle back on something we mentioned just in our talking earlier this morning when we weren't recording.
I know we should have recorded. We have our most profound conversations when the recording is not on.
Yeah. Well, it was reflecting back on some of the conversation yesterday mm-hmm. when we were touring the old Last Days property and some of the other ministry properties in the area. And we had a mix of folks with us that were graciously spending their time to guide us.
Yes, very
and
graciously.
And I think all of them were still believers, but different to different degrees of extreme, I'm going to say different degrees of extremism or moderation.
Moderation is a good word, yeah.
And, but one thing we heard from a couple of folks was the idea of looking back and going, you know, I just need to not focus on the negative because there's good stuff, you know, we just need to move on past the negative. And that's something that we hear a lot.
A lot.
And it occurred to me this morning that I think people, they feel very uncomfortable, right? You've got this picture of the past or what happened and these giants of the faith that they look up to and this ministry that did all this great shit. And the idea that things were not ideal or like way not ideal.
Way not ideal. And they'll acknowledge that.
Yes, they'll acknowledge it, but they very quickly need and want to move on.
Yes, yes.
It's just too uncomfortable to, I guess, to spend time considering it, giving it space. It's a, and let's focus on the good.
Yeah, which is why people who were with us, I think, really are uncomfortable with our podcast, because everybody is very eager to get on and move forward. And I there is a balance to that, right? As far as spending so much time and dwelling in the negative is not healthy. And so I think where we come from, it's like, well, I don't think we're living in the past and dwelling on the negative, because we did move on. And
yes,
we did come out of it and not look back for a while. And yet being able to unpack our own trauma of what led us there, and then the things that were very unhealthy. It's like you can have both of those existing at the same time.
Yes. And there's a difference between I'm dwelling in it, I'm just steeping in it. Oops. You got the directions, babe? You doing all right? Okay. There's a difference between that, like, I'm just going to steep in it and focus on it and dwell in it and make it my life, and, you know, that whole root of bitterness bullshit, versus, okay, I've moved on, but I need to acknowledge it. And there should be accountability, and there should be a warning about these exact same things continuing to happen. Whoops, we got some acceleration going on.
We do have some acceleration going on. Yeah, and I mean, we get that. We'll get that in messages that come to us via Facebook or Instagram. It's like, why can't you just be grateful? A lot of people say, why can't you just be grateful for the past? And, you know, it's that double-edged sword, because, of course, you know, in our marriages, we're absolutely grateful for our children. We wouldn't be who we are without them. We're grateful for the friendships. I mean, today, some of the people that we haven't seen in so long, there's such a bonding there. And yet, at the same time, those very unhealthy extremist control, exploitation, indoctrination didn't have to happen.
No, it didn't.
And so you can absolutely call that out and say, we need, I mean, it took us years to unwind that shit.
Right, right. And you know, you had mentioned this morning, there's this scripture that gets quoted, you know, hang on.
Half a mile. We might have to pause.
Okay, we had to pause for a moment for directions and traffic, and thankfully, my wonderful husband, Dave, continues to be our chauffeur.
Yes. All right. And we are in some traffic from the, I guess, the upcoming eclipse.
Yeah,
maybe this is just Dallas.
It might just be Dallas. All right, so I was starting to say that this morning, you know, one thing you mentioned was people will often quote that, okay, yeah, bad things happen, but God
All things, you forget your scripture, my dear.
Yes.
All things work together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purposes.
To which I said, okay, all right, so let's just say that. All things work together for good. So the bad stuff God uses, and it works together for good. Then why even bother stopping any of the bad stuff? Then we really, it's all okay, isn't it?
Yeah, and to that, I think, and you'll notice it, at least I've noticed it, usually that's when the quick brush aside comes, because that's a lot to think about, right? You have to start to put those things together and say, well, no, I wouldn't agree that you just don't ever stop bad things, or no, I wouldn't agree that you wouldn't try to improve things. So what do you do?
Oh, hold on again.
Use the right two lanes.
So we're in my favorite place, Dallas, and there's all these signs to Waco, and it always reminds me how close we were. And then we even had a conversation this weekend about maybe David Koresh had come to visit our property, and we haven't been able to vet that. So right now we consider it rumor, but we've been asking around if that could be true.
Yeah, and several people have a vague recollection. So, all right, sorry this episode, folks, is so start-stop, but you know what? It's real, it's raw, it's recorded live without editing.
Without
so here
editing.
You get it. I didn't even know what you were saying, Tracy.
We were talking about our conversation this morning and just about how uncomfortable people are with recognizing the deep harm, and I would say deep harm, that happened. And, you know, to your point earlier about women, I don't have the stats on it either, but I think just the nature of the toxic belief that women in these organizations do have it harder than men.
Yeah, I agree.
And so, you know, we'll meet with, you know, some men, and it's almost like, you know, just be grateful, be grateful, be grateful for everything that we had. And it's like, well, I think mature, non just black and white thinker can look at that and be able to parse out, yes, wasn't all bad, or we wouldn't have stayed.
Right, that's right, that's right.
But because there were nuggets of things that we learned and that we experienced, does not excuse the deep harm that was done to many and the deep harm that we participated in.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Tracy, well, we've got just a couple minutes here to wrap up. What do you want to say about... Well, you are posting some amazing things on Instagram.
Yes.
I will say that.
So we have posted a lot of the visuals. I think some of it is, you know, to the point of we have moved on. We have been able to glean the good. So, you know, we're smiling. I think there's the one artwork where it's the... From Asleep in the Light, where Kent, you see all the people sinking down and everyone's drowning, and you and I are in front of it. We were so excited to see this original piece. We're like, look, look, let's take a picture. And then I'm looking at the picture going, oh, we're a little too smiling.
Too happy while all the people are
sinking down, because it just doesn't have that weight with us anymore. It doesn't have that pull. But we are posting, as you know, we've gone through, we ended up finding a treasure trove of all the old LDM magazines and the tracks with some pretty amazing artwork. The artwork is like, wow, that's kind of clever. And so...
You know, one thing I want to do, because so many people have commented how the magazine, the Last Days newsletter, would come into their mailbox and they would just be under this... dreaded cloud of guilt and shame. I kind of want to take a few of those articles and comment on them, like line, maybe not line by line, but, you know, pull out the more egregious bullshit and say, yeah, here's the crap, people.
So in that, and I want to make this important point before we get there, what I also noticed is people were trying to brush aside, we were just young. How many times this weekend did we hear that?
Oh, that's right. Oh, you were all
we
so
were
young.
All just young. We were all just naive. But no one has really taken responsibility for not just how we treated each other, but what we printed.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, okay, we were young, and the way we dealt with each other, and there was high controlling the environment, but we printed, what did you say, a shit ton. Of propaganda and literature, and we're sending these out by the hundreds of thousands to the millions.
And we are sorry, people.
And it's awful stuff,
it is.
Right?
It's not just,
we were tough on each other. It's like we have printed some just horrifically legalistic, I don't even know what you would call it, but I was even looking through the artwork and going, man, this is rough stuff.
It is rough. It is rough. So I just want to say to those of you who received the newsletters and tracks, many of which actually passed through Tracy and I's hands when we did the mailing machine, we're sorry. I wish we could take so much of that back. And for those of you who are the children of our generation, who were your parents, did a lot of what they did because of what we did.
Yeah, they were discipled by this message.
Yeah,
they were discipled by this message. And some of those are still not pulled. So we did get, you know, several of those. We're going to go through them. You know, we'll post, you know, a few of them just because it is our history. Mm. And we're not afraid to face it.
Right.
And that's what I see about so many people. They just put their head down like, oh, it's just, you know, we just need to brush aside. Like, no, I want to look at it. I want to read it. I want to remember what I was thinking when I was, you know, mailing these things out and not just, you know, be able to say, oh, well, we were just young and naive. We were just young and naive.
We were young, we were naive, and we were arrogant, and we were wrong.
Yeah, so, but this has been great. Thank you for, thank you God, the world, for having an eclipse, because I think that's what brought us together.
Thank you
for being in the pathway, right, Dallas, because we could hop, skip, and jump to Garden Valley and spend time. And most importantly, thank you to your dear husband, Dave.
Yes.
Who has driven us and sat with us and had to listen to this ad nauseum. And he might be on the bandwagon like, okay, you guys are living in the past too much. Let's move on. Let's get out of this. So thank you for just waiting for us as we've met people and gone through this. We really appreciate it a lot.
We do. All right. And thank you, dear listeners. And and
this is our Eras tour. So we couldn't. Eras tour. So this was part of, you know, as we unpack and we continue on this series, it was really helpful for us to get freshly acquainted again with everything and some people. So,
all right.
We did it.
Say goodbye, Tracy.
Goodbye, Tracy.
All right, folks. Okay. We'll see you another time. Bye.